my people's on the planet, stimulating the mind. All my people's happy, knowing the time. Come on and push up your lights up. Up your lights up. Up your lights up. For we spark the fire to all my people's on the planet, stimulating the mind. All my people's happy, knowing the time. Come on and push up your lights up. Up your lights up. Up your lights up. For we spark.
Check it out. Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority is what I'm probably on. If I ain't whipping the land throughout your section, my mind's in charm. 9 times out of 10, I rhymes upon the L train.
Hey,
fountains over rugged mountains of my terrain. Dig it, I came too far to front.
Randolph Terrence.
Taking on how to maintain. Stepped off the city hall into the.
I'm Andy Klein.
I am Elton Howard Jr.
And we're three guys on.
Tim Miller lives.
Tim Miller lives.
But not right now today here.
He's tired.
Tim Miller lives.
He is tired.
Tim Miller lives.
I'm tired, dog. I don't have time to be going to the podcast.
Are you clowning Tim right now?
No, I'm not going to clown Tim. Tim might fuck me up.
Happy to be here with you guys. What is this coffee and comedy show?
You keep looking up that dumb shit. It's coffee and comedy.
Feed. It's Haywood. Shit in my
are you not focusing on the podcast right now?
Who is doing
comedy?
He is
comedy not focusing. He
in,
is
the middle of, in the middle of the day at a coffee shop.
Drinking coffee. Because coffee gets you crazy. I am crazy for coffee and comedy. Caffeine makes you laugh way more. You get the joke with caffeine. You get the joke. Pour me another espresso.
I mean, comedy for me is a nighttime event in a dim room with the lights up and a drink in your hand.
And some bourbon.
That's comedy.
You just bourbon.
That's comedy.
You just
that's
wanna
comedy to me. Comedy is not the middle of the afternoon.
After going to Home Depot.
Coffee. And eating a scone. That's comedy to me.
I just came from
Bed
Bath & Beyond with my wife.
I've done afternoon shows. Don't get me wrong. I've done afternoon shows. It's not comedy to me. It's just not. It's like a comedy outside in the park to me is not comedy.
My
is
man.
Not comedy. I'm going to do it, but this is not.
It's comedy if you got your hat. You got your hat upside down and it's comedy in the park. Put some dollars. Hey, I'm going to tell some jokes, nigga. Goddamn it. Put some dollars in that.
That one is comedy. It's just not comedy. Comedy is a nighttime sport.
It's nighttime. It's not like NASCAR. They only have one night race.
Yeah. One. Comedy is a nighttime sport.
They don't have no headlights.
About that. I've never asked you about that.
I don't know that I would be 100% comfortable in an afternoon show, but
barely
comedy,
comfortable anyway.
But comedy is about putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. I wouldn't be against trying it. I don't know. I've never done an afternoon show.
I've done
shows where it's still light out. Like if you do a show in the summer and it's an 8 o'clock show and it gets dark at 8:45, it's still light. And sometimes clubs have light coming through
it's
the windows.
Night.
You know what I mean? It is different though when it's light out.
Yeah, it's very different.
Remember the Draft House on Thursday? They used to have their side room show at 7.
Yeah,
and it would be light out, and it would be a different vibe.
It's a completely different show.
But I don't know that.
Are you gonna talk about pussy during the day?
Yeah, pussy. Yeah. Pussy and coffee.
You can't talk about pussy till the sun goes down.
Pussy and coffee. Dick jokes with coffee.
Wait, just put my not dick for me. Coffee is for humorous conversation.
Can you get your dick, can you get
I've
your
done
dick off my donut?
Shows in coffee shops at night.
Yeah, that's
that have
a different.
Been
that's a different thing. They're great. Yeah.
You don't need the alcohol.
Yeah, you don't need the alcohol. It's the vibe.
You need the vibe.
Yeah.
It's the vibe.
You need that low vibe. Level, that vibe.
Yeah.
Vibe out.
Yeah.
Coffee shops can have a great vibe. No
they,
alcohol.
Yeah, they can have a great vibe. I've had some great shows at coffee shops.
During the day.
Nighttime coffee shop jokes.
Or I don't know, during, let's say, brunch,
Can I get decaf?
Let's say.
Guys, can you stop snapping your fingers and start laughing, please? I don't get this snapping thing you're doing. Just,
yeah.
Telling jokes.
Oh, just comedy's so fragile.
It's fragile. Oops, I just got a Tinder match. Amy.
There you go.
Did you get it right now? While we were talking?
Yeah, right before
she's
the show.
She's got a mask on.
Yeah, you know she want to fuck.
Wait a minute. Let me see the picture. Let me see the picture. She matched with you?
Yep. She literally just matched like a couple of minutes ago.
Okay. Yeah, she has one of those like Mardi Gras masks on. And she doesn't look happy about it.
No.
At all. How do I get to her other pictures?
Just swipe.
Swipe right?
Left or right.
Okay. Yeah, she's wacky. Yeah. This picture has a weird green filter on it.
Green filter and one eye open, one eye closed.
And basically, forehead to chin on that shot. And then the other one, you see a little bit more of her, the one with the mask. Yeah, but you see less of her because she's wearing a mask. Yeah. So
it's weird.
She's hiding stuff.
Yeah.
Let's just say it like that.
Let me see if I can establish communication during the podcast.
Are you going to start a little? She's winking in that green picture.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's winking or if that's wincing in pain.
It could be a twitch. She could have a twitch.
It could be one
of her mid-twitch.
It could be her bad eye. I don't know.
Caught her mid-twitch.
She it's might her be affliction.
An Incredible Hulk fan or something.
Oh, it's my birthday. Happy birthday.
It's Randolph's birthday, everybody. Today. Well, the day we're recording it is.
Yeah, yeah. The day we're recording.
So that's why he's checking Facebook to count the happy birthdays.
Count the happy birthdays.
No, I'm trying to respond to them, to the ones that matter to me, let's say. So guess what if you didn't get a response?
Damn you, Randolph.
Guess what?
Damn you.
Hey, Randolph, I sent you a happy birthday thing on your birthday, and I didn't hear back from you. What happened?
Well, Finazzo sent me a good one. He said, happy birthday, Randolph. May your wildest dreams come true. I said, my dreams include you, me, nudity, and fast cars.
That's not going to happen.
To which he said, as long as your standards aren't too high for who is nude and the car is a 1999 Honda Accord, we can make this a reality. Like, that's good.
Yeah, 99 Honda Accord. It can do like 120 on the beltway. I don't know how safe that might be.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that. We wouldn't advocate that.
Yeah, I've done it.
120 and a 99 Accord
yeah,
on the beltway.
If it got good brakes.
If it's got good brakes. It's a 99 Honda Accord, so I'm going to guess no.
Have you taken it to Midas lately? I mean, Midas, have they fixed the brakes?
What if Elton's next Tinder match was a 99 Honda Accord?
Wow. Jose Sanchez's girlfriend's birthday is the same day as mine.
Oh, you're friends with Jose Sanchez's girlfriend. That's cute.
No, I'm friends with Jose.
How do you know it's his girlfriend's birthday?
Because he put the picture up. Because he's doing that whipped man thing where you put the picture
Never do that. Because I love you.
You know she'd get mad if you didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I checked your Facebook page, Jose. I noticed something. Did your phone's battery die or something? I hope there's some reason you didn't put a picture of me.
Yeah. You get to the point where you just literally give your phone to your girlfriend so she can update your Facebook status.
Yep.
So she
can swipe left on your Tinder app.
Over and over again.
You better get off my Tinder app, bitch. You crazy.
She crossed the line.
Yeah,
I got some upcoming shows. February 5th, 6th, and 7th, I'm in Baltimore at Magoobie's Joke House. I will be featuring for Bob Kelly. Come through the show. It's going to be fantastic. Bobby's very funny. Very funny. Just come through the shows. On the 8th, I am at the Cellar Door in Frederick, Maryland. The Cellar Door, Frederick, Maryland. Come get some. On the 13th, as far as I know, we're doing romaine and lettuce versus Three Guys on.
Yeah,
as
I gotta prepare I know, something for
we
that.
All gotta start preparing.
I don't even know what they do on those shows.
It's like a music comp. It's like a
music variety show.
I'm just gonna do my act and have them play some songs
in the green room. I think you should do a Wrath of Klein.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
Them just put some music.
That's only like 2 minutes long though.
That's fine.
I mean, just I would rather do more.
Put music behind.
I could do. I'll figure it out. I'll do something.
It's pretty good.
Hold on, trying to raise a daughter. She has a question. She has a very important question.
It's always important.
Yeah, it involves. Oh, she's oh it's very God. Important. She needs help with changing channels.
She needs.
Well, I think you should do Wrath of Klein.
He just goes scream that as he walks away to get on the mic. I think you should.
For those
do.
Of you who don't know what Wrath of Klein is, I used to do a segment on 98 Rock in Baltimore once a week on a show called Irresponsible Radio with Joe Robinson of the Rob and Joe Show podcast. And I would go do like a 2-3 minute rant sort of thing. And we call it the Wrath of Klein. Because why not? That's a nice pun.
It's always cool to see Andy do a wrath.
But
a
it was every week I would do some new thing about something, you know, vaguely topical. And it would be like a little quick little rant. But it wasn't really a rant. I don't rant. But that's how it was basically
actually,
built.
No, your personality is you're just so like melancholy.
No, I explore. I take apart a subject with surgical precision.
Yeah.
But I'm not ranting. I'm not up there like pulling my hair out and doubling over from the emotion.
This traffic
I think you should
sucks.
Do one and have them put some music behind it.
I got to figure out what to do one about. I could. I mean, that would only be a part of my set.
Yeah, definitely. Because
that would just be a... I don't know. I'll figure it out. We got 2 weeks. Definitely. I'll wait until the 12th.
I mean, they're good musicians. So, well, that's obviously the way to do.
I mean, I'll just sit in with the band.
Yeah. And then on the 14th, actual Valentine's Day, not a side chick night, but the actual Valentine's night.
Yeah.
I'm at the Draft House opening for The Princess Bride. I'm opening for a movie.
It's a good day. They've done that before. They used to do it with Swingers sometimes too, which is another, I guess, Valentine's sort of movie.
Yeah.
I mean, because he gets the girl in the end.
Yeah, he does. You know what, Noah? He gets the new girl.
Right. So. Right. But he gets over his issue with his.
Well, all you got to do is meet some new Tang.
Meet Heather Graham.
That's all you got to do.
You meet Heather Graham, all your problems are solved.
Big eyed, big tittied Heather Graham.
New pussy saves us all the time.
And then I'll probably make a trip to New York next weekend. And then kind of far out, I'm at the Avalon Theater. March 6th.
I got to book some shows.
At Avalon Theater.
I got to book some shows.
Yeah.
I don't have anything of note coming up.
That is about it.
I've done all these other, I did Magoobies and Cellar Door and all those. Yeah. But,
well, it's my turn.
Yeah, I got to get the Avalon Theater. I got
to
get that.
Yeah, I need to get some shows.
And Elton Howard, I have what do you got? Nothing. All right, so.
Tinder
I do have a brunch show at Shaw's Tavern as this is being recorded as we were talking.
You're going to be late.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because this is way more important than a brunch.
A brunch show today?
Yeah, I was asked. It said by around 3.
Around 3?
Let's get rolling.
Wait, when does brunch happen? I thought brunch was like a noon, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that's normally when it is.
This is a lunch show.
It's noon to dinner.
You do a late lunch.
Yeah, but you still get endless mimosas. You get open with an endless, bottomless mimosas.
Bottomless mimosas.
Bottomless mimosas.
Really?
All
day?
And I always just wipe off somebody's.
Very white girl thing to do.
Wipe off somebody's glass and say, go ahead, fill it up. Because I'm not paying for this shit.
you take someone's mimosa glass, they don't check that. They can't check that.
They cannot.
So you take someone's glass that they've drank out of.
I wipe it off.
Well, I mean, I don't want to bring up a story you don't want to talk about on the podcast. God. But yeah, we know what you're capable of.
Yeah, we know where you're at.
You are so
a sore on his lip is not going to stop nobody at this table.
Yeah. Antibiotic can take care of that.
Do you check that? Do you look over the person whose glass you're about to steal?
Open your mouth and let me see your sores. You got any sores in there?
Let me check you out. I got my kit on me. I got my kit to check you out. Swab the inside your mouth real quick.
Yeah.
Send that off. Let me send it off to forensics.
Yeah, put that in this fluid. If it turns green, I can't
fuck with you.
I can't do that. They are good mimosas, but I don't know if they're that good.
Let me get that glass. Get out of here.
Can you go ahead and give yourself this AIDS test real quick?
Yeah.
I got to make sure I don't get the AIDS off your mimosa glass.
Yeah. We don't get it. We don't get AIDS like that.
Oh, I got a quick story.
You know what you're talking about. Talking about AIDS.
My wife's good friend from high school, probably her best friend from high school, her husband was here for a confirmation hearing to be a federal judge. Side note, if you ever want to feel insignificant as a man, that would be when your wife's friend's husband is here for a confirmation to be confirmed as a judge.
Right.
And you are a trainer slash comedian. Or comedian slash trainer.
Yeah, but who's happier?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he's happy too?
He's happy also.
Shit. All right.
Happy as well.
So we went out to dinner with them.
Did you get an extra firm handshake when you shook his hand? Like, hey, I'm still stronger, man.
I can kick your ass.
Yeah, that helped. That really helps. Yeah.
Judge.
Yeah, that really helps. So we went out to eat afterwards in the evening. And then that night, we dropped him off the hotel, and we're coming up 50 New York Avenue.
Right.
Right? Y'all know where.
Yeah,
you know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Route 50 becomes New York Avenue in the city, and then you go out of the city, it's back to Route 50 again.
Okay, now you know the spot right before you turn to get on 395?
Coming back here?
Coming back this way.
Yeah, left two lanes.
The third street tunnel.
The tunnel.
All those towns. No, before you get to where you make the turn, you're still on 50.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe let's say 100 yards from the light.
Right.
Blue tire right there.
Oh, shit.
Blue tire.
Was it like a pothole?
I don't know.
The road is terrible.
I don't know. We just heard the thing. Well, I do know there was a nail in the tire. A huge nail was in the tire.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they didn't know that.
Blew a tire right there.
Okay.
Do either one of you want to explain to the people exactly what that neighborhood is like?
It's a little sketchy.
It's a little seedy. I actually saw the police chasing someone on that part of New York Avenue while the person that they were chasing returned fire. So
really?
I witnessed that. I literally witnessed that. Yeah. In that part of the, go ahead.
Did you see that? Did they kill the guy? Did they shoot back?
No, they were chasing. He turned around and like, bop, bop.
And he kept running?
Yeah, he kept running.
They didn't shoot back?
No, they didn't. They didn't shoot back.
Those are good cops.
Yeah. Yeah, those were good. That was back.
those are two of the good ones.
He turned around and said, pop, pop. He turned around and kept running.
Wait. We didn't. Was he white?
No, he wasn't white.
Not on New York Avenue.
Those are really good cops. Those are great cops.
He was black. I was like, holy shit, this is like a fucking movie.
I pulled in.
So did you have to? Was there like a shoulder there, or
no? There was like an apartment building.
Okay.
And I just pulled into where you go into their parking garage. I just pulled in right there, and I got out to look. I didn't know what the fuck. I could hear it.
Yeah.
So I got out. I looked. My wife gets out with me. The tire's flat. I mean, all right. So I'm opening up the trunk. I'm getting the spare out.
Right.
She's moving shit out of the trunk. She's standing there basically. I don't know what she's doing.
There's always shit to move out. No one's ready for the spare tire. You got to take all the shit out.
So we're taking all this shit out.
Why is there a VCR back here?
Well, I said was toys we're going to give away to charity.
Yeah.
We just hadn't made it over there yet.
Just fill up a trunk.
Yeah. So I was like, fuck, fine, whatever. So right. I kneeled down to start changing the tire. Literally, as soon as I kneeled down, here comes this guy. Hey, brother. Hey, white guy. Can I help you out? I help you out. You help me out with a couple of bucks? I said, no, man, I'm good. It's 10:30 at night.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Uh-huh. I said, no, man, it's 40 degrees, 10:30 at night. I don't have any gloves on. I'm like, no, man, I'm good.
This reminds me of like in a zombie movie where like everything's normal and one of the zombies hears a noise and looks up like a deer.
Yeah.
And then they all start just moving toward that sound. Oh, shit, money.
Let me help him.
I'm like, no, man, I'm good. He was like, no, I'll help you. And then you give me a couple of hours. I said, no, I'm all right. I got it. I'm trying to put the jack underneath the car and stuff like that. My wife is still standing there.
Yeah.
He was like, no, well, look, I'm trying to get to the train station. Maybe you can help me with a couple of bucks. I got up. I told my wife, I said, get in the car. I told her just like that. I said, get in the car. I had the lug nut in my left hand. I started waving around. I said, dude, I got nothing for you. Do you understand? I got nothing for you. He walked on.
Okay. Thank goodness.
He walked on.
That means,
okay. Woo. Literally 3 seconds after he walked away, here comes Ned the Wino. Hey!
Of course. White guy?
Black guy. Hey! I keep the neighborhood safe.
He keeps the neighborhood black.
He keeps it safe.
Why everybody?
I was like, I said, I'm good, man. Now he's just wandering back and forth.
Oh, he's patrolling.
As I'm changing the tire.
Because like, now this is the
Jesus
thing.
Jesus Christ.
This is the move. They do. The first guy, here's where he went wrong. He asked you if you wanted help. What they do is they just give you help, and then they expect money. Like he's protecting you from the first guy. Like sometimes if you're parallel parking in the city, and a homeless guy will like get by, he'll like wave you in like you're an airplane.
Yeah,
you know, and you'll get out. He'll be like, hey, I helped you out. So can you help me out? Like, I didn't know I could parallel park,
yeah,
dude.
I can parallel park a car.
You can't assume the sale. So that's what he's doing. He's assuming the sale.
Change the car. My wife's on the phone. I'm trying to keep an eye on the drunk. The drunk guy I'm kind of worried about. The homeless guy I'm not really. The panhandler dude, I'm not too worried about him.
Yeah.
The drunk guy, I'm like, this. He's drunk. I'm like, this motherfucker's capable of anything.
Right.
So I'm like trying to keep an eye on him and change the tire. Another dude appears. He's walking. And the drunk dude stops. He stops him. And the guy's like, what, man? What? And then he walks by me. He's like, what's happening, man? He's clearly walking home.
Yeah.
You know, because he's just walking.
From the club.
Hey, man, how you doing? And he just kept walking. I was like, I'm good, brother. Because I was just, I'm changing the tire. I'm changing the tire. Everything's going fine.
Yeah.
Change the tire. Get out of there. Pull out. I'm like, yeah, thank you, man. Drive on. He kept us safe.
Right. Right. He probably did.
He was your guardian angel.
Here's the thing I will say. I was telling somebody this story, and I got to the part. It was a woman where I said, I told my wife, get in the car. And the woman was like, why'd you tell her to get in the car?
Oh,
I was like, because I don't know what's about to happen. That's why. Well, I would have stayed out the car. I said, not if you'd been with me, you wouldn't have.
You would have been swinging a tire iron.
If you'd been me, you
wouldn't. I said, get in the car.
Get in the fucking car.
Right.
Get in the fucking car. And my wife was like, she got in the car immediately.
Did she lock the door?
Because she knew what the fuck was, what might get ready to happen. Because she was already texting with her mom and the girl we had dropped off. And I don't know if Randolph's going to punch this guy.
Is that what she was saying?
Like, I don't know, but.
But does she have, like, pepper spray in her purse?
No, but it's just enough shit in our car.
Right. Because like, she wouldn't be able to help, like, in a scenario where we needed a weapon.
No.
Right.
It's for me to do.
Right.
I don't like, I talked to Jimmy Merritt's wife about that one time.
Yeah.
That she's on this thing of, I'm mean, look, just because you've seen Scarlett Johansson fight somebody in a couple of movies.
In a movie.
That don't mean shit. Do you understand? Unless you've been hit by a man squared up in the face,
right.
You don't even know what that's even like.
Well, then I'm getting in the car.
You don't even know.
I'm getting in the car.
I need to ride. No idea how you're going to react until that happens.
I need to ride with Randolph because I don't think I need him to protect me.
Even if I was willing to pay for the convenience of having someone change my tire, I wouldn't trust some random guy. What, the tire's going to fall off halfway home. There's no way he would do it right.
Yeah, Andy. Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Like, are you ASC certified? Can I see your certification?
ASC certified to change the tire?
Change the tire.
Get in the car.
Yeah, okay. I need to check. You need to check Andy's tire pressure.
Why, yeah.
You go up to all four of Andy's tires. We're like 15 pounds alone.
Not anymore.
And he was just driving. Andy, you know you got like semi-flat, so all your time. Oh, dude, I didn't know that. Thanks.
That's how I would like it.
You
That's
like,
how I like it.
You like that cushy, smushy
that
ride.
Cushy,
that,
smushy.
No,
your
I gave
suspension
Elton,
don't like it.
I gave it on the ride home one night, and we just walked through. Elton, eagle-eyed. Elton, he's like, your tire's low. I said, what is that? What? Tire's low. And then he just did a lap around my car. So is that one. So is that one. So is that one. Hold on. Elton went and got it. Actually, I wasn't giving you a ride. We were just walking to the garage.
Yeah, because I still have my car.
You went and got your air pressure gauge, and each one was worse than the previous. You went to the one that you thought was low, and you right. were like, see, that's low. And you were like,
Bill Belichick's ball boys fill up his tire.
Exactly. That's what the fuck.
You were like, this one's like 24. It's supposed to be 32. And I was like, yeah,
it's about 32
low.
For most tires.
That is kind of low. 32. I got to get that checked. And you were like, let me check this one. This one's 20. This one's -4. So then
you know
I went,
you can get free air right now at that Shell station right there in Shirlington.
Yeah, well, here's the thing with the free air. A lot of them don't have the pressure gauge on it.
You don't know how to eyeball it?
You can't. No, you
can't really eyeball a tire.
Well, yes, you can because you didn't. You spotted it immediately.
Well, because when it's super underinflated, yeah.
Would you rather have it just a couple pounds under pressure?
Yeah. Well, yeah. A couple.
You can eyeball and be like, that looks
and then you can go. I mean, most people
put some shit in here.
Well, no, I like a day or two later.
Carry a tire.
What do you mean? You can go find a man to check it for you. Is that what you mean?
Excuse me, sir.
Need a real man.
No, a couple days later, I went to the gas station. Because I don't have an air. I didn't have an air pressure gauge, which I do now. But it had a.
You're welcome, Andy. You're fucking welcome.
I had $3 to spare. I bought it at Rite Aid.
Well, that's good, Andy.
So then I went to one that had the actual. The next day, I just went to one like the one by my house.
Yeah.
Which doesn't tell you the number.
This Exxon over here does, but they charge.
Yeah,
you for
sometimes.
It.
Yeah, sometimes they'll charge you. Yeah. But then the day after that, I went to one that actually.
You know,
had
it's
the
not Exxon anymore. It's Liberty Gas.
They got the newer ones actually. What you can put in like 75 cents. You can actually set the pressure on the machine.
That's nice.
And it'll stop. Yeah,
that's what extra quarters for.
Yeah, that's that extra 25 cents. Hey, can you gauge my tire pressure? PSI, nigga.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. That woman saying that when I was talking to her. I was like, "What? So you just going?
You're going
to
stand out there?
What you going to do?
Right? What if this is a diversion where the guy is taking your attention away and someone else is coming up behind you?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like you don't like.
Yeah, she was like offended that I told my wife to get in the car.
Oh,
I was like, oh.
Why would
you want her to be safe.
Exactly.
Like, so what? Exactly. What if somebody would come and club you on the head, then they go club her on the head,
too? I don't
know
what this dude's plan is.
That's right.
I don't care at this point.
Baby, lock the door. I'm going to take one for the team.
I don't care. Nice. Get in the car.
Baby, lock the door.
Here's your job as a woman. Get in the car and dial 9-1 and wait.
Right.
That's your job.
And keep looking at that mirror, side mirror.
That's your job.
That's
your job. You're now a witness. You're now a witness.
Yeah. That actually reminds me. I missed the train one day, and I had to call an Uber. And on the way home, we was going over the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, right? We ran upon an accident that just happened. The car was still smoking. It was literally in the middle of the local lane on Woodrow Wilson Bridge. The Uber driver was like, "Oh, let me check him out." I'm like, "Dude, you're on a fucking interstate in the middle. Don't get out the car.
And I got to get home.
Yeah. I'm like, I got to get home. He said, okay, don't worry about it. This is a free ride. I said, okay, do what you got to do.
Right.
So he goes out there, and the guy is still in the car, airbag deployed. Literally, the front of it was a Honda Civic. The car was obliterated.
Right.
The guy was clearly drunk.
That's what I drive. Maybe his tires were under.
No, that's stupid as shit. Well,
his tire gauge was laying on the ground, but so he had a tire gauge.
He was drunk as shit. And then as we were leaving,
he was fucked up.
Yeah, we noticed that he rear-ended a pickup truck that actually had a chance to pull over to the side. He had to be going like 80 miles an hour to do that much damage.
And rear-ended a guy on the highway.
On the highway.
Yeah.
At speed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The guy was going probably at speed, and he was going tremendously much
faster.
Let's
say the guy was going 55. He's probably going 80. He just breezed up on him and banged into
Ran Bam! Right into him. And they both were still in the car. We had just happened upon an accident.
Yeah.
So what,
and I got a free Uber drive.
You got a free ride. Because you call the police and then leave?
I called the police, and we left.
You didn't even wait for them to show up.
I got to go to sleep.
Right.
I got to go to work. I got a job.
You're being responsible.
I got to go turn. Don't be pulling.
You're responsible for your own goddamn life.
Exactly. Don't be pulling over. I got to go home and turn people's cable off.
You just pull up next to the guy in the truck like, you good?
Yeah. Exactly. I ain't see no.
Because you a head nod?
I ain't see no blood. Yeah. The other guy was able to walk out the car, but he couldn't drive.
I just thought about this with that guy. Let's say that the money guy had tried to jump bad with me.
Yeah,
I would have had to knock him unconscious and then finish changing my tire. You see what I'm saying?
Right. You can't speed away.
I can't just fist fight with the guy until the shit's over and then beat him off and then he leaves or some shit like that. No, I got to knock this dude unconscious.
Right.
Leave him laying there and then change the tire.
You really thought that through. You had to.
I just was thinking about that.
Whoop his ass real good and he'll leave.
Knock this guy unconscious.
He wakes up with a flat tire in his chest. What happened here? What happened? Hey, why didn't you protect me, other homeless guy?
Well, he's waiting on Ned. Hi!
Yeah. Ned
I keep the neighborhood safe.
He was watching out for you.
Hey,
brother.
Ned. How you doing, Ned DeWino?
All right.
And only people who know about good times know about Ned DeWino.
Good times.
There's also the mayor from Do the Right Thing. He doesn't keep things safe. He just sweeps up for a dollar.
Yeah, he sweeps up and watches everything.
The mayor.
And gives you advice.
He hands out advice.
gives you advice.
Always do the right thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that it? I got it. I'm good.
I'm gone.
That's it.
Where are we at?
27 almost.
Okay, people, 26. Listen. Last week on the podcast, we talked about basically backdoor censorship, people step into comedians, the thing that Artie Lang went through.
Homeless
with
guys
from the
step
Artie.
Into comedians.
Homeless guys step into comedians. Hey, Wino's trying to keep them safe. We talked about all that last week.
Right.
Literally the next day, I read an article that said that was talking about the New York comedy scene, and somebody said that Ted Alessandro had an experience with a heckler at the person at the show that the writer was at. I said, "Hey, I know that guy.
Right? He's been on the podcast.
Why don't we call him and why don't we talk about the things that he went through and speak about some of the things about what I refer to as backdoor censorship." As far as comedians, as far as audience members now feeling they can talk to comedians and stuff like that. So we reached out to Ted. He was gracious enough to give us some time. I say gracious, like he had some shit to do.
Right, he's not changed a tire or anything.
Yeah, he's not changed a tire or nothing like that. Yeah. So we spoke, and Andy and I recorded it, and here it is. So first, before we get this started, I was reading this article. I don't know who wrote the article. I don't know the guy. It's a guy with a big head of hair.
Jeffrey Gurian.
Okay. What's it say his name again?
Gurian, Gurian.
And who does he... What was it, the article, the piece written for? Was it Stage Time?
I think it was for the Interrobang.
The Interrobang. So he's a writer slash comedian?
I think he used to do comedy, but now he's kind of like, he's always in the scene.
Okay.
He was a part owner of the comic strip at one point. He was a comedian at one point, and now he's, you know, he writes and he does a blog. So yeah, he's always in the scene.
All right. He's got an impressive head of hair. I'll tell you that shit.
That is undebatable.
It's impressive. He looks like an iceberg walking along. Man, I was like, look at that head.
And he's always got like a 6 foot woman on his arm that's never the same woman.
Of course he does.
I don't know exactly what's going on.
He's doing something. It's him, yeah. Prince. He's doing something. So I was reading the article, and I noticed that he said you guys were interviewing at IFC for pitching Teacher's Lounge. For those who don't know, Ted has a podcast, an online web series called Teacher's Lounge. If you know anything about Three Guys On, we've pushed the hell out of it, and I hope you've listened to it. So you guys have had a pitch meeting?
Yeah, we just pitched this week to IFC to do a half-hour series with them. So they're fans of the show, and they said all the right things. So, we're working towards getting a treatment for a pilot together, and we'll see how it goes. But the first meeting was definitely positive.
Good, 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 good.
Are you going to try to get the Louis deal where you have control over everything and they can't tell you what to do?
Yeah, that's what we insisted on. So I don't know if that'll be a deal breaker or not, but it's a Louis deal or nothing.
Ted, I would say that's kind of strong to come from your first deal, but okay.
Yeah, you know, I figured, like, let's not pull any punches. Let's let them know where we stand right out of the gate.
Swing for the fences, right out of the box. Right out of the box. There you go. Well, I'm sure whatever's going to happen, it can only be one door opening to something else. So either way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, it's been a great process. It's been a long process. So I think Hollis and I kind of just take it step by step, and we enjoy each step of it. Because like you say, you really don't know. You don't know what one thing is going to lead to, but it usually leads to something. So it was fun.
Yeah, only one door.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the reason why we called you today is because we had just discussed on the podcast, the last week's podcast, about audience members shouting out at comics, as well as comics trying to, I call it a backdoor censorship. I had a back and forth with Liz Winstead on Twitter for about an hour on Sunday. She and I were just going back and forth on Twitter because I heard her saying how she stood with Charlie Hebdo, and she's anti-censorship. So I happened to post a tweet saying, I remember her during the Daniel Tosh thing being the first one who was saying he shouldn't be allowed to say this, and basically implying that sponsors should walk away from him, basically. So we went back and forth on that for Twitter for a while, which basically came down to her saying, I didn't say that. I was like, well, I know what I saw and I know what I heard. So unless I'm stupid or I didn't see it
right,
or I didn't hear it, yeah, you did, but okay, you say you didn't, you know, and which also led us into the discussion of what went on with Artie Lang. A woman at the Cellar posted some things about a bit of his that the bit wasn't even offensive at all. I don't know if you heard about that.
I just know about his Twitter rant with the ESPN anchor, but I don't know about this incident.
No, that, I mean, that, okay, I could see, but this apparently, Andy could probably set this one up better because he tells a story.
Well, she wasn't at the show. She was upstairs and she was going to the bathroom, so you have to walk through the showroom, basically. And so she walked through while he was telling
me. Is this what it's come to? Just somebody who was, like, next to the beach, somebody who was on the block.
Just a second, man. Just a second. Just a second. Just a second.
Am I being heckled?
Yeah, you're being heckled by a dog. You're being heckled by a dog. That's because you run off at the mouth. So you're being heckled. This is what it's come to. The dog is heckling you. Very angry dog.
But I just had to say, like, I find it so funny that now it's, at first it was like, you know, people that are at a comedy show. Now it's people that are walking through a comedy show
to go to the bathroom.
Next, it'll just be, So, but anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So he was doing this joke about, he said, you know, all these protests have gotten in the way of my social life. I was having sex with this black girl, and she said, I can't breathe. I said, hey, you don't have to bring politics into this. And she said, no, I literally can't breathe. Get off me, you fat fuck, or something like that.
Right. I did hear about that. I thought that was a great joke.
Yeah. That's what we thought. That's just a good joke. It's a really good joke.
And the woman who objected, I think she yelled out during while she was walking back out of the cellar. she yelled something at an audience member or Artie or whatever it was. And she got on Twitter and ranted about it. And she actually quoted the joke fairly close to what it was. I think she left out the last couple lines, which I think help explain it more. But either way, she got offended. And it didn't get traction, but she was trying to boycott the cellar. And she had all these tweets about how we have your tour dates, we're going to come to your shows and protest and this and that.
Right, right.
And that's where we're at. And then come to find out that literally the next day I'm reading the article, and you got a little bit of that on stage at a show. You want to set that up and tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I was at Gotham for Roy L. Watkins' show.
First of all, before you set this up, let me just paint the scene. Ted Alexandro, noted civil rights activist at this point, noted man of the downtrodden lower middle class, noted man of the people, noted man in the streets. Okay, and go.
That's right. those are my credits, by the way. That's how people bring me on stage.
Exactly.
So I'm doing the show Mixtape. So it's a predominantly black crowd, but it's mixed. And yeah. The bill is mixed. You know, that's kind of what Royale tries to do with the show, I think, is just to mix up the bill and, you know, have a mixed crowd. And, you know, which is kind of rare in New York. You know, the scenes are pretty kind of insular. And, you know, you go to a black room or you go to an alternative room or you go to a gay show or, you know, all the different scenes are kind of ghettoized. But anyway, so this is, you know, this was like a mix.
And by ghettoized, she doesn't mean black people.
No, I don't mean, I mean, the various
or
ghettos
Jewish.
That we all
use. Or Jewish, whatever ghetto you roll in.
Right, right. So anyway, so I do the show. And this is their sixth anniversary show, and I've probably done the show maybe six times over the years. I do some jokes about MLK and about police brutality and, you know, things of that nature. You know, your basic comedy premises. Police brutality. And this woman in the back, who I think was a black woman. I couldn't see her, but someone said later that she was a black woman, yelled out, boring. And, so, you know, like the rest of the crowd was like listening and was on board and laughing at the places that people usually laugh. But for whatever reason, this woman, I don't know if she was drunk or just, I struck a nerve with her, whatever it was. She just yelled out boring. And, you know, I basically, kind of, invited her to like, you know, leave if she didn't want to be part of an audience, you know, because, you know, like I'm a big believer in free speech too, but I also believe that when you're part of an audience, be it theater or music or whatever, you're kind of signing on to a code of conduct that your singular opinion doesn't really matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Liz Winstead doesn't believe that, by the way. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, obviously it's part of the job. So anyway, you know, I got them back and the crowd was clapping for me, you know, basically telling her to shut up. And then, of course, Gotham's security is always on top of those things. So they went over and kind of told her to be quiet. And the set was good. You know, it was fine. And then afterwards, Royale, when he went, you know, he hosts the show. So when Royale went back up on stage, he basically said, you know, this is Mixtape is a family. And this is our sixth anniversary. And we consider everyone here family, the audience and the performers. And if you don't want to be part of it, you can leave, you know. And he said, I'm sitting right over there. You can come over and get your money back. And then he went on to basically say what you said, you know, that I'm out in the streets. I'm out there trying to work for a more just society and all this. So I appreciated what he said. He basically took the woman to task and stood up for me, which I appreciated.
Which doesn't really happen at comedy shows. Do you feel like the woman was she just a general dumbass heckler, which happens in shows? She could have been a drunk. She could just been drunk. Or do you feel like it was the material that sparked that in her? I mean, we know the difference generally. We know when somebody's just being an asshole or if it's material that sparks it.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know. It could have been any combination of the above, you know? Yeah, who knows? I mean, those things are always a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But the further along I go, I really, in comedy and in life, I try to not approach it in a combative way or a confrontational way, you know, because here I am out in the streets for a nonviolent movement. So, you know, and we try to emulate Dr. King, and this is a guy that we, you know, we talk about and praise, who lives nonviolence in the face of, you know, the worst kinds of death threats. So at the very least, as a comedian, I can try to diffuse someone yelling out, you know, like I feel like too often, you guys don't have any language restrictions, right?
No. Only for you. Only for you. So you watch your mouth,
right,
sir.
That's right. I feel like too often, you know, like we go right to, you know, shut the fuck up, you cunt, you know, or whatever. And then, you know, the crowd might clap or whatever. But, you know, I feel like in a way there's like a level of violence even to that. So just in my own interactions on the stage and everything, I'm trying to explore like other ways. You know, it's easy in the same way that it's easy to get laughs with quote unquote like easy material. It's easy to get laughs or to get support with those kind of stock ways of shutting up a heckler. I'm trying to, you know, just be mindful in my own comedic explorations of like, you know, maybe there's more interesting ways of diffusing things like that, and maybe there's more peaceful ways of exploring it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just try not to go to anger. I always feel like if I go to anger, I lose control. I'll begin to lose control of the scene in the room. So.
Yeah. And that's the easy way to go, both in life and definitely on stage, because it's such a heightened dynamic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's an interesting exercise.
Yeah.
Have you seen more resistance as your material has gotten more sort of topical, political? Have you seen crowds pull back more often than, you know, just when you're doing just regular observational kind of stuff?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, like I've probably shifted in the last 10 years so that, I mean, you know, it's still my act. I would say only 20% of it is really stuff that would fall into that socio-political realm, but I go into it. I don't like tippy toe my way into it. I go right at it, and I try not to be ambiguous or apologize. I try to, you know, just say exactly what I'm talking about. So I always feel like if I hit the target that I'm going for, and the crowd is on board either with, you can tell when a crowd is engaged by something, even if they're not laughing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, as long as I know that it's going to land on a laugh, I can make my way through the first 30 seconds to a minute where I'm kind of sparring with them a little and just kind of, you know, waking them into like, okay, now we're talking about this.
Have you found, I guess, Are other comics trying to go that route, and are other comics experiencing more people talking at them, or are other comics going the other way and just being, I guess, meaner with it? Because that's a big issue amongst non-comedians that listen to our podcast are always like, well, you know, these cops will talk about Trayvon, and the people will talk about Trayvon, and they'll talk about, you know, the victim in this case, but they never say anything about the cops. And if you're that bold of a comedian, why don't you ever say and make jokes about the police? And have you been finding,
right,
you understand what I'm saying? That kind of, you know, you'll talk about the one side, but you won't talk about the other side. Not so much you, that's not really an issue, but there is a section of comedians, I guess the Artie Lang section of the world, but Artie wasn't doing that type of joke in this instance, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think it's always easier to side with authority as it's defined to us, you know, so whether that's the cops or even this, you know, the discussion that's been going on around that movie, American Sniper, which I haven't seen, but, you know.
Read the book. Read the
book. Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it all falls into that category of, you know, you're discussing kind of the structures of power and, you know, power structures that we've been conditioned for a long time to not question at all.
Yeah.
So comedically, if you go into that territory, you know, which I think most comedians were kind of, you know, critical thinkers and question authority and all that type of stuff. And people bring that to the stage to varying degrees. But I do think that that's kind of, you know, inherent in most comedians is that questioning of the mainstream, you know, mm-hmm. just the accepted thought on something. So
have you seen a level of comedian who completely have decided, look, I'm just not going to talk about that. You know, I'm not going to talk about that at all. I'll talk about lettuce, you know, because it's easier and it's no stress, no frills, no fear from anybody.
I think that's the majority, you know, I think that's the majority of comedians. I think it's the majority of human beings.
Well, it's definitely the majority of human beings. That's why we're here right now. Because no one wants to talk about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, like everyone to a certain extent evaluates what am I comfortable discussing and how will it affect my job, my living, how I pay my bills, you know? And mm-hmm. certainly comedians and artists have to kind of assess what am I comfortable talking about. And beyond that, is it more lucrative for me to not talk about, you know, A, B, and C? You know, so everyone has to assess that differently. But for me, I think less about, you know, those types of things. And I think more about what am I compelled to discuss? And then I figure everything else, you know, works itself out.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been having more of these interactions, do you think? As the material has changed?
Yeah. I think, you know, anytime that I go into stuff that's polarizing, I think a lot of people are so conditioned, like when they hear something, even a topic, you know, it can be abortion, it can be war, it can be the police, you know, certain topics, people, they get their back up immediately so that, in essence, they kind of shut off any ability to engage, you know, even to listen to you, you know, or they assume that you're coming from a certain point of view, you know, and I'm usually not very, I try not to be dogmatic or preachy, you know, I try to really just engage with ideas, you know, like, here's an idea and here's another way of thinking about this or that. So yeah, some people don't really appreciate that or like it, and that's fine. Like I said earlier, you know, like it's not my job to make everyone feel a certain way. You know, that's the free speech part of things that, you know, people can laugh or not laugh, and they can even yell out if they want. And then I just have to deal with whatever that is.
How do you feel about these people doing what I call backdoor censorship, meaning? You know, you don't want to censor what somebody has to say. However, let's go ahead and damage them economically. That way the club won't book them anymore. That way they'll be unemployable now. As in, let's reach out and hit their sponsors. And they, you know, because I don't like that particular joke. So I'm going to see to it that the club doesn't book them anymore, which to me is censorship. You are trying to censor because you're trying to silence them. You're just trying not to say you're censoring them. I don't care if they say it. I just don't want them to be able to make money.
You don't want the government to censor them, but you want the end result to be the same as that.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little disingenuous, really, because ultimately, to me, what it looks like is a publicity stunt for, you know, whether it's the intention or not, it winds up being a publicity stunt for everyone involved, including the person you're going after. Because if you go after, you know, in the example you mentioned earlier, Artie Lang, he's not going to lose any of his fan base. They liked that kind of thing. And if anything, it makes him a martyr in their eyes, and they're going to support him more.
Yeah.
So he's not losing anybody, and maybe he's gaining some people. So, you know, you might think that you're hurting him, but you're not.
Yeah.
And then as far as, you know, the other people, you know, the person going after them, they get a little bit of 15 minutes of fame
and
or whatever.
A little shine.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's not to dismiss that, you know, like the thing that he did with the ESPN anchor where he kind of sexualized her and talked about it in, like, slavery terms and this. You know, that I felt was crossing the line and inappropriate it brought about a lot of good discussion about patriarchy and
the question I would have behind that would be is, okay, so he laid in bed and he did these tweets watching ESPN one Sunday morning. Does he now not get to work at the comedy club on Monday morning or Monday evening? You see what I mean?
Right.
That's the question I always have. And don't get me wrong, I'm for the discussion, by the way. I'm for the discussion, as you said, that brings about a discussion. I'm for that discussion.
Sure. You know,
I definitely want to have
discussion. Comedy clubs are not corporate America. We're not going to get suspended, you know, for saying something. You know, if you have a corporate job, like a talk show, or, you know, if you're on the payroll of corporate America in that respect, you might lose that job, but you're never going to lose your gig as a comedian because of something you say.
They want, though. And that's the thing that I don't like now. You know, that's what they want. And there are comedians on our side. And by our side, I mean more liberal, but the way past us as far as liberalism, who do want that, who do want, because I don't agree with it, I don't think they should be allowed to work. You know, I've heard this a lot, and it's disturbing to me that people who claim to be liberal would be willing to do that. And then when you confront them about it, or will say, well, I don't mean that. Well, of course that's what you mean. That's what you said.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's varying degrees to which people tolerate free speech, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not, ultimately, for a lot of people, it's free with conditions, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's not really free. And ultimately, you know, comedy clubs will book whoever they want. And certain clubs, they like people who, you know, will push the bounds of free speech. And, you know, there's comics who make their whole brand on, like, you know, saying the outrageous or pushing the boundaries. And you know, and I think that's a good thing, too. And, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I do think that the existence of those type of comedians is good because, you know, nothing should be sacred. Ultimately, the end result should be exactly what we were saying earlier. If it brings about discussion and education and maybe a sensitivity, you know, if Artie walked away with a sensitivity that he lacked before that, then, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. What did you think of what's going on with Bill Cosby and Judd Apatow, since we're in this vein? Apatow was on the Mark Maron podcast, so you're now the Judd Apatow to the Three Guys On podcast. As Apatow was to Mark Maron's podcast.
right. Well, you know, I don't like when the issue winds up getting diverted from and it becomes Cosby versus Apatow.
Yeah, that's really what it is right now.
This is really Cosby versus alleged rape victim. You know, like,
35 at the present time.
So that's what the story is. The story isn't Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I like to keep the focus A on Cosby and the women, his victims, you know.
You think he did it? Allegedly. You think I'll take some of the pressure off you? I do.
No, it's not pressure. I mean, if he was paying off a lot of women to go away, I think that pretty much says that he did it.
Yeah, that's like how I feel. He did that shit, dirty motherfucker.
But I also think that you know, Hannibal gets a little lost in the shuffle because then it just became like this accepted comedy premise for everyone to have Bill Cosby jokes.
Yeah.
But like, let's not lose sight of the fact that Hannibal had the balls to say that first, you know, yeah. And the wisdom and the insight to bring that up, you know, because you talk about free speech, like, you know, Bill Cosby is a kind of a, you know, he's an icon and a comedy legend. So, so yeah, Hannibal deserves the credit for at least, you know, having the freedom of thought to go after an icon.
Yeah, and you know, and in my community, the black community, you know, Hannibal's been vilified mostly because black people are not going to go against Bill Cosby. They just refuse to let this motherfucker go, just as a group, just are refusing right. to say, yeah, he's dirty. You know, yeah, the motherfucker did it because he advanced the cause of black people and blah, blah, blah. But I'll be the black person right. to say it. The motherfucker did it.
Both can be true. That's the other thing. He could have done some good things and also, in addition to that, raped a bunch of women.
Yeah, yeah. And he did do good things for the black community. I'm not going to say he didn't. He did. He did a lot of good things for the black community. I don't like this just being an example, but I've never liked the thing of lording it over certain elements in the community as they need to do this or they need to do that. I've never liked, and that was Hannibal's problem. And here
yeah,
we are.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I think the discussion is a nuanced one, and America's not, you know, at least mainstream media is not very good at nuanced discussions.
No,
but as far as the critique that, like, you know, how could America's dad do this? If anything, I think it makes it makes it more American. Have you read American history?
Yeah,
America rapes and pillages. So like, yeah, he's the perfect America's dad.
Yeah. I would say he is America's dad. Be thankful he could be America's uncle. He didn't even sticking fingers in everybody.
That's right. And I read an article and I heard MC Light on. On a radio interview, something I had not heard before, maybe you guys had, but there was a conspiracy about the murder of his son, Ennis Cosby, where I guess in the 90s, Bill Cosby was going to make an offer to purchase NBC.
Yeah.
And the powers that be did not want that. They didn't want a black man owning a major network. So that was the conspiracy that Ennis Cosby's murder was part of that. So I hadn't heard that before, but certainly we know American history and the tight rein that power keeps on power and wealth. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it could. I have heard that. I'm skeptical of it because I think it's just not sell it to him. You know what I mean? You don't have to sell anything to anybody.
I heard that, but the version I heard was it was in the like around 1980 that he was going to do that, and basically NBC wasn't for sale anyway. So it kind of gets muddy when you think about like he wasn't worth the billions it would take, and he would need to raise more money. And NBC was never actually looking to sell. So, I mean, who knows? But I've heard a lot of stuff about the murder of Ennis Cosby, though. A lot of stuff about how it wasn't the story that was portrayed in the media as part of a larger conspiracy theory.
Yeah, right. But, right. I mean, there's always going to be something because people don't like to. The simplest thing is usually too easy. You know, simple
right,
thing. He
right.
got carjacked. You know, and that's okay.
Right. Yeah.
But that's too easy.
And I also heard that NBC had a rape clause in the contract, so he never could have bought it anyway.
Oh, there you go. Of course. I mean, and that's probably the truth of it. I'd be willing to believe that more than anything else, that they had a rape. We got a rape clause, dude, buddy.
also hear the big one now is that how could this black man get away with raping all these white women? I'm like, because he wasn't black anymore. He was green at that point. He was an acceptable black man. You know, he was a black man who would chastise other black people. You can't get rid of that black guy.
Well, look, man, it's power, right? Like, there's guys teaching comedy classes that try to bang the comics that they're teaching. So it's like,
that's why they're doing that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, there's eighth grade teachers trying to bang their students. So, like, if you're Bill Cosby, you know, yeah, of course, you know, like, it doesn't shock me that a powerful man, you know, Bill Clinton with Lewinsky, it's like, it's the age-old story. And usually we don't hear about it, you know. I mean, this is definitely a lot more sordid because it was, you know, if he was drugging them and raping them and this kind of stuff, that's a whole other level.
Yeah. Well, you know, motherfucker did that shit, man. He did that shit. This motherfucker, him, Roman Polanski, they all did that shit. You know.
Yeah.
He's another
it's
dirty
funny
one.
Too, how like, you know, how the secrets get kept, you know, and again, like.
Well, that's money. That's an easy thing. That's money. It's easy to keep secrets when you got money.
Money and public relations and all that. Like, and it's no different than corporate America. You know, like, again, like if you're gonna like vilify Cosby and not talk about, you know, any number of you know, corporate bankers and Jamie Dimon and all these people, like, you know, again, it's where America likes to keep the conversation. You know, it's like, okay, let's rail against Bill Cosby for a while. It's like, you don't think you can find that in corporate America any day of the week?
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, no, Ted, because capitalism is good.
That's right.
Shut up, hippie.
I forgot.
Goddamn dirty, unwashed hippie.
Yeah. And believe me, if I could grow my hair long, it would be, but I have to shave it.
Yeah, you and me both. Hey, man, what do you got coming up before we wrap this up with you? You got anything coming up that people should know about?
I got a couple of comedy festivals coming up. It should come as no surprise after this conversation that I'm doing Michael Moore's comedy festival.
Oh, shocking.
I didn't know he had a comedy festival.
Know he had a comedy festival, so you're breaking it.
Yeah. It's I think this is the third or fourth year. Michael Moore and Jeff Garlin from Curb Your Enthusiasm, they're both Michiganders, if that's the word. And they have a Traverse City comedy festival every February. So I'm doing that. I did it like 4 years ago, and I'm doing
it. So it's gonna be like you.
February.
It's gonna be like you, Lee Camp, Jamie Kilstein, Liz Winstead. Who else? Hari Kondabalu. Who else?
W. Kamau Bell.
That's right. It's the same people every year. No, actually, you know, they definitely mix it up. It's a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of great comics.
Larry the Cable Guy is going to be there?
I don't know if he'll be there.
Okay.
And then I'll be in Texas at Moon Tower in March.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, first time doing that. I'm excited to go.
Going home. I'll tell my brother to come out and see some people in Austin. Go see Ted at Moon Tower. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, come out and...
When is your next episode? When are your next episodes of Teacher's Lounge 2 drop? Electric Boogaloo. I put Electric Boogaloo behind everything I say too. Electric Boogaloo.
That's right. I guess it's really just going to depend on where things go with IFC. You know, if we get a deal with them, then we're starting to look towards television.
Okay.
And if not, then we're definitely going to do a whole season 2 on the web. So okay. We'll keep you posted.
You going to kickstart it again?
We're going to try not to, just because, you know, we don't want to go back to the well with that.
Listen, man, you got a friend with deep pockets. He could pony up a little bit. He likes you. You know who the fuck I'm talking about, too. He could pony up a little bit.
You and Andy?
Yeah, me and Andy.
I got $6 on it.
I got $5 on it. That's $11 right there.
There we go. So, yeah, people can check out our Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/ Teachers Lounge NYC.
Yeah, get at them, people. They're great stuff. And check out Ted. Buy Ted's CDs. You got like two now out? Two or three?
I got two. Most recently was I Did It.
Yeah.
And the first one is As Much As You Want. And they're both on TedAlexandro.com, and you can pay as much as you want to buy them.
Yeah, so get at him, man. Give Ted a penny. Give him something.
Yeah.
Buy his shit. Hey, man, thanks for talking us, as always. I think I'm coming up in February. I'm trying to work it out with Courtney. I was going to come because, you know, our birthday is this week.
You're getting old.
Yeah, yeah. You got 46, baby. Both of us.
Yeah, that's
right. Both of us. So I was going to come up like I did last year, but it didn't quite work out. I'm going to come February. So
cool,
I'll let you know when I'm in town.
Cake.
Yeah, I'll let you know when I'm in town. All right, brother.
Thanks so much.
Take care of yourself.
Right. Thanks,
Dad. Love you, man. Take care out there.
Love you. All right. Thanks. Always good talking to you.
All right, brother. Peace. All right, I hope you guys like that. You want to introduce the next thing?
Well, also, the next day, Ted put up a clip of some material he was doing from the Comedy Cellar in New York, which kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the conversation. So it was like the next day we were on Facebook like, hey, wait, didn't we just talk to Ted about this stuff? So we're going to go ahead and play that too. So here's the audio that Ted put up. If you're friends with Ted Alexander on Facebook, you might have already seen it. But this is a bit he was working on at the Comedy Cellar about police brutality and kind of feeling it out. So here's that, and it will come back with the rest of the podcast after this. So here we go.
I guess we got to do better, man. 2015. We didn't do too well in 2014. Police brutality came to the fore. I don't think there was necessarily a rise in it. I think all of a sudden now we all have cameras in our pockets. So I think that's kind of what happened. It's not like, wow, the police really had a crazy year. It's like, you know, maybe this has been happening a while, but we didn't know about it. And that's part of the disconnect. It's part of the disconnect that people think it doesn't happen to me, so it can't be true. That's the problem. You know, there's a disconnect. Just because you haven't experienced something doesn't mean that it's not real. Think of police brutality like a Tyler Perry movie. You may have never seen one. But that doesn't mean they don't exist. You're not the intended audience. Same with police brutality. And the other part of the equation, even more importantly, I think, is this implication that we're not allowed to talk about the police. We're not allowed to discuss how they're doing. I'm a comedian. I'm in front of audiences 7 nights a week, in front of the public, basically saying, what do you think about how I'm doing? Being reviewed moment to moment by the public. You see cars in New York City all over the place, phone numbers on the back. How's my driving? You can just pick up, oh, I don't like that guy's driving. But somehow we're not allowed to say, it seems like the cops have been killing a lot of black people. I tried to whisper as best I could. So I don't know. I don't know what the answers are other than talking, you know, talking out loud sometimes. Sometimes into a microphone, sometimes not. And feeling it. Because it's uncomfortable, right? You even feel it here now. Even talking about police brutality is uncomfortable. But at least it's not police brutality. Imagine what Ben was feeling. It's better than that. Maybe that should be the new program. The cops just come up and talk to black people about police brutality. Black people are like, this is really uncomfortable. Yeah, but we have scaled back.
There you guys go. Hope you enjoyed that.
TedAlexandro.com.
Yeah, TedAlexandro.com. He's got things happening. Hopefully.
You can buy his DVDs and you pay whatever you want, like he said.
Pay whatever you want.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal.
No, and he's kind of come the long way, like as we're doing, kind of come the long way. But, you know, Ted is the mayor of Occupy.
He is. He's a protester. He's out there holding up signs. He's got pictures with himself and Cornell West.
Oh, yes. That's pretty tight.
He does have one with him and Cornell West.
Yeah. But fuck that shit, nigga. I just got another Tinder match. I'm hitting.
Let me see.
Another one?
I got another Tinder match in this motherfucker.
Okay. Now, this is Tanisha.
Ooh.
She's cute.
Yeah.
Tanisha has several pictures. Okay, so here's the first one. This looks like almost like a corporate headshot.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because she says mom, entrepreneur.
Widow.
And widow. So her.
She didn't say mom. She said mommy.
She opens with widow. About Tanisha. Widow, period.
Yeah. Mommy.
Mommy, period. Entrepreneur.
You don't fuck with her, man.
Yeah. She killing niggas.
Dude.
You
don't
fuck with her. Let's see what her next picture looks like.
She has a very high opinion of herself, I'm sure. Yeah. All right, this is her more of a
whenever
casual
you see
pose.
The filtered picture like that. It's filtered through something.
It looks like it's just a poorly lit room or something.
It does, but that's
filtered through a bad cell phone camera.
She didn't wipe the lens off.
But this still looks like her. I mean, this is not like a curveball picture. She looks fine.
Yeah.
Here's a selfie in the mirror, classic. She's taking a selfie with an iPhone, which would probably cause me to disapprove.
Bigger her arms. That's all you can really see.
Yeah, she got,
she got big, meaty arms.
She got big, meaty titties, too.
She's cut her other arm kind of crossed.
She got a big wedding ring on that left finger.
Crossed across
body. Right there.
That's how old that picture is.
Right there.
Her husband is dead.
That or she's still carrying the torch.
Here's me at my husband's funeral taking a selfie.
Oh, no.
Just me and my husband's funeral.
Oh, no. She is wearing all black.
This is another from the corporate shot reel. This is with glasses on, though.
Yeah,
smart
glasses
girl.
On reel.
Yeah. Smart girl glasses.
She looks real business.
Yeah. Very businesslike in this picture.
She's about her business.
And this is her with Ahmad Rashad.
Ahmad Rashad? Hey, man, you can't compete with Ahmad Rashad.
She looks somewhat younger in this picture. This might be an old picture.
Yeah. It is.
Ahmad looked like somebody made him. He looked like a real person.
He looked like the wax
version of Ahmad Rashad.
The wax
is Ahmad Rashad and Madame Tussauds?
So
what did do Ahmad Rashad for that great work he did in The Best of the Best?
this is not the first widow. For you, right, Alton? I mean, you've had widows before.
No, I've never had a widow.
Really?
You've had diseased women before.
That's not a disease. Having a widow is not a disease.
Oh, okay.
She should have been.
It's a big ass phone. What is that?
This is a Samsung Note 4.
You better get you a purse.
Go get
like
you.
I do.
Go get you one.
You know what phones are now? Like, remember when you used to carry around checkbooks?
Yeah.
That's about the size they're.
That's why I carry a purse, man.
Yeah. That's it. That's why you carry the man purse. I skipped the man purse.
That's why. It's just too much shit to carry, man.
I get it. I just stick that in my pocket, put in my check card and Metro card.
Unless you wear carpenter pants all the time.
No, I don't.
Cargo pants. Yeah.
Cargos.
Cargo shorts.
I don't
wear
cargo.
Those all the time.
Now, can we see the pictures you have of yourself?
Oh, you want to see?
Can we judge you the way we just judged her? Just for equality's sake?
You definitely can.
Okay.
You're allowed to do that. Here you go.
Really, man? One on stage? Really?
Oh, Elle's got a good bio here. Like, she had three words. She had widow, mommy, entrepreneur. Elton's got a whole paragraph. Like, all right, I'm not going to read your whole thing, but I'll
put it out there.
Okay, about Elton. As a person who doesn't like asking for help.
Remember, he wrote this.
I did. I proofread it.
As a person who doesn't like asking for help, particularly when changing attire, I truly need help understanding today's dating rules. Jumping in feet first. I'm a hopeless romantic.
Oh, my God.
Wait till you hear the next sentence. I'm a hopeless romantic. Chivalrous is my middle name.
Faggot! Pause. Pause.
Pause.
That got me a couple of matches.
Life is too short for BS. Love is my favorite four-letter word. Well, did you get yourself a daily affirmation calendar?
No, I wrote that myself.
This is just every sentence is a new daily affirmation. If you just peel the next one off. Chivalrous is my middle name. And then like Tuesday.
When things feel too tough, tie a knot and hang on, baby.
It was my favorite four-letter word.
Just tie a note and hang on, baby.
Okay, not favorite, but it is in my top five. So we got fuck, shit, cunt.
Yep.
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 Tits. Huge car guy. I love to conversate. Sorry. Ha ha. Converse with intelligent persons. The lady is my daughter. Is that for the
pictures?
Well,
because one of the pictures. Yeah.
No hookups. What does no hookups mean? No, just casual.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's technically what I want.
Bullshit.
But I got
bullshit. That's you like, think these women don't see through this shit?
That's like the flypaper. That's the flypaper.
Okay. That's the second picture from the same show on stage.
It's just two.
Right. Okay. Is this from a show as well?
Let me see.
What is this one from?
Hey, technically that was, but I was just trying to get individual pictures that weren't selfies.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then, here's one. Here's a selfie right there.
Yeah. That was me okay. being silly.
Making a funny face, in the car.
That's it.
Here's, this your daughter? That's the,
yep. That's okay. my daughter. Yeah.
Right. That's your daughter. This is you and a friend.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, just casual at the bar, just hanging out, you know? We'd like to have fun.
Yeah.
All right. All right, I don't know. I can't really judge. You look the same in all of them.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that. No filters.
No filters.
No filters. No
pause.
Filters. Hashtag no filters.
Widow. Woman.
Widow. Woman. That's all she said. Shot from the top of my chest up.
Yeah. It sounded like she was about to start some spoken word poetry.
Yeah, that's what it looked like, yeah.
Widow, mommy, entrepreneur, queen.
Black women's love.
Are you ready for it? Can you handle it? Are you strong enough?
These
or
hips,
do you need one of them white girls?
These hips are not only made for birthing babies.
But sometimes they are.
Sometimes they are.
Hence the word mommy earlier. But anyway.
Oh Lord, my dad just commented on my happy birthday, son. Kiss my baby for me.
Is he referring to your wife or your daughter?
My daughter.
Slobber down, slobber down.
He does love my wife.
Yeah,
he does.
All
love
black
my
men love white women.
He loves my wife.
Does he call your daughter his baby?
Yo, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All black men love white women.
Kiss my baby for me. I gotta call him today, as a matter of fact.
Woman, girl, adult. Lady,
I don't know how I feel about that. My parents comment on the shit I put on Facebook. I'm like,
you can block.
Are you reading all the shit I put? Nah, I ain't blocking nobody. You look at this shit. You the one that friend requested me. You look at this shit.
You don't really put anything racy.
Well, to you.
Oh right.
Now if they should listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I tell people right up front. I'm like, hey, should I listen to your podcast? I'm like, you sure about that?
Do you want to know what I think about porn?
I told people right up front.
I do not like condoms in porn.
It's going to be, I can't stand that. I'm like, I can do that.
It's supposed to be a fantasy.
Yeah, it's a fantasy.
No one fantasizes
about I need big about dicks latex. And no condoms.
He said, I need.
I need my porn.
I need big dicks.
Big dicks and no condoms.
Who in their fantasy stops and put on a condom?
Who wants little dicks and condoms? Who is that
I think
person?
I should have. Oh,
you know what?
Pause.
At least in the porn, at least they don't show the guy stop and get the condom and put it on.
Yeah.
Like, at least they don't have that moment where he's like, hold on. Oh, shit. Yeah. Fuck. Turn on the light. I can't see. Like,
actually,
they just cut to condom on.
You know what I want to see? I want to see a porn blooper reel.
I bet they have them.
I want to see that. I want to see.
Speaking of blooper reels.
A girl slips on cum and falls.
Yeah. Or someone.
Whoops.
So
that's going to hurt later.
Deep throat and just pukes all over.
Someone just.
Speaking of.
Oh, what is this?
Speaking of blooper reels.
Oh, no.
It just occurred to me. I had forgotten. Brian Thompson out of Illinois. He was not bullshitting people. Last week on a podcast, Mr. Thompson talked about he was in Walmart and he saw American Pimps, raw outtakes, and the hard truth. Mr. Thompson sent it to us, people.
Oh, wow.
He is now the number one fan of this podcast.
Was that in the $2 bin at Walmart?
I don't care what it was in.
Let's hope it was in the $1 bin.
That
shit got two discs.
I think Dominique.
You can get your get your daughter's.
Now, Dominique said it wasn't good, but Dominique ain't watching it for the same shit we're watching it
for. Okay. I haven't seen the original American Pimps.
Cass, the original, and it has a soundtrack.
So it has one CD, one DVD in that box.
The soundtrack is Skin Tight by Ohio Players.
Of course.
Oh. I Want to Do Something Freaky to You, Lynn Haywood.
Pimp Music.
Easing In, Edwin Starrs. Busting Out, obviously, Rick James.
Easing In.
Kung Fu by Curtis Mayfield. Be Thankful for What You Got. This shit's going to be in my car all day. Reach For It by George Duke. Slide by Slave. Pursuit of the Pimpmobile by Isaac Hayes. I ain't even heard that song.
Wow, let's
Pursuit
play that shit
of the
right
Pimp
now.
I'm going to
look that up. Pursuit of the
Pursuit
Pimpmobile.
Pursuit of the Pimpmobile by Isaac Hayes.
Don't Mess with Mr. T by Marvin Gaye. Another song I've never heard. Riding High, a song I love by Fazo. The World is a Ghetto, another song I love by War. After the Dance, another song I love by Marvin Gaye.
Are these going to be all like karaoke versions?
No, that's the original soundtrack. I would assume it's
original. They were, all
yeah, it's called Pursuit
licensed.
Of the Pimpmobile. Isaac Hayes.
All right, I'm going to look it up right
70
now.
Minutes is the total running time of the DVD.
We can be.
My wife was like, what's this? You need to listen to the
cassette. Oh, I just gave some stranger our address.
What you well, I got his.
Some strangers got my
I was like, look, are we going to start getting more of this shit? I thought about that. I was like, we're going to start getting more of this shit. We're going to start peeling
this. This is a 9-minute song from a soundtrack.
Which song is that?
Pursuit of the Pimpmobile. Isaac Hayes.
That's how all this song started. That's kind of tight. I like
might
that.
Have to bring this podcast home. This podcast, we're up wet. Well over an hour on this podcast.
I'm going to check. This is on a soundtrack to a movie called Truck Turner.
Oh, yeah. A movie, really, Andy?
Oh.
Yes. A movie?
Yeah. I'm not...
That's the movie for Isaac Hayes. Truck Turner?
Black.
I don't know. I know his songs. I don't know his movies.
Blaxploitation.
I just know the song.
Truck Turner.
Although I don't know this song.
The character that he did in Hustle and Flow.
Yeah.
That guy, it was sold to him by the director as, this is Truck Turner now has retired and he owns this place.
Okay.
That's how he sold the character to him.
This is
Truck Turner.
This is from 1974.
He has such long intros.
The song is 9 minutes.
He's a musician. I remember that. So he's a musician, and as a musician, you want to show out. You want to just vibe.
Yeah, this documentary really sparked a lot in hip hop.
American Pimp.
Yeah, this was huge. It was kind of like Scarface. How big Scarface is in
it's
the
really
rap
under,
community.
This is really underground. Most. It's way up more underground than Scarface. Scarface is above ground. This is underground.
Yeah, but Scarface didn't get like recognized until after
rappers
it came on.
Grabbed onto it.
Yeah, after it came on videotape.
Yeah, rappers were grabbed onto it. American Pimp is really underground.
The American Dream at its finest.
Yeah.
Pimping and cocaine, nigga.
Yeah. I like this. It's like a commercial.
Check out the album cover. What's he doing there?
Yeah, he's firing a gun.
He's firing a gun with his shirt off.
That's Truck Turner.
Yeah.
You don't want none of this dirty weed.
That dirt weed.
Hustle and flow. You don't want none of this dirty weed. Yeah, it's probably just an instrument. I don't mind that instrument.
Truck Turner is a 1974 blaxploitation film starring Isaac Hayes and Yaphet Kotto.
Oh!
Yep. The blackest man ever.
Yeah.
He held the title till Wesley Snipes came along.
Oh, shit. You know, Yaphet Kotto is on this joint on Netflix. The Monkey Hustle.
Oh, God.
Look that shit up. I had to watch. I was like,
people send me ratchet shit to watch on Netflix all the time. Like, I'm not watching your ratchet
ass. The Monkey Hustle. Yaphet Kotto started The Monkey Hustle with Dolomite.
You see?
Yeah.
I'm watching your ratchet bullshit. People send me ratchet shit all the time.
You know what? That's film history. You got to study it all, the good and the bad, so you can be a better person. So Randolph don't be making no Tyler Perry movies.
That's going to make me a better version. Watching Truck Turner.
Yeah, watch this. Like, is this what niggas did back then?
I think we can get out on this end.
Yeah, why not? Pursuit of the Pimpmobile.
Roll this. We want to thank Mr. Thompson for sending us this. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Now listen, people. Follow his example. Find shit.
Should we set up a donation link on the
podcast? It depends. If shit starts coming, a P.O. box will be set up. But yeah.
GoFundMe.
Maybe we set up a GoFundMe. We got no way to monetize.
No, we can
shit.
Do a PayPal link on 3guyson.com.
Yeah.
Easy.
Head over to the Black Guy Who Tips tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Monday tonight.
Monday 26th.
The three of us will be on there unless Tim's asleep.
too tired.
We will be on. We will be on the Black Eye Tips. We want to thank Elton Howard for sitting in with us tonight, eating his pineapple in front of us. We want to thank him for that.
I got to hydrate.
Yeah, you do have to.
You know, it's going to make your sperm taste better.
Yeah,
that's why I'm eating.
You should put that in your Tinder bio.
I eat a lot of pineapple.
Like
wink, wink,
wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Man, father, divorcee,
grandfather,
pineapple eater. Grandfather. And then one of your Tinder pictures should just be a big plate of pineapple.
Yeah.
And the next picture is that plate empty. And then a picture of you.
I'm going to do that.
You should do that.
Me with a big smile on my face.
Pineapple eater.
Yeah.
You guys come back on Thursday. We will be here for you. We're going to talk about some stories for about an hour. I think we're going to talk for about an hour.
About an hour.
Yeah.
About an hour.
About an hour.
So listen, people, we had a great time with you guys today. We hope you enjoyed today's Ted being part of the podcast. Be sure to follow him on all of his social stuff. You know how to do it. Reach out for it. Thanks, guys, so much. Email us. Hit us up. Did we get any emails last week?
We did. We'll get to them on
Thursday. Yeah. We're going to start with emails.
Or one at least.
Yeah. One of these. Who knows?
Yeah. Follow me on Pinterest.
Pinterest.
That's my new shit right now. Pinterest.
Elton 20 Howard. Ways to repurpose styrofoam.
There you go.
Pinterest. From Elton Howard.
That's right. Pinterest is my shit.
Pinterest.
Fuck Facebook.
I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
I'm Elton Howard Jr.
And we've been Three Guys On. Great song to get out on. We are out.
Pimpin'.